The Holy Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter replied to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to Peter a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. I invite you all to be seated. So, I served at St. John's in Lexington for almost 6 years, and I remember when I was installed that day, the assistant to the bishop then, Reverend Mel Amundson, who had been my pastor for a couple years at Redeemer in Columbia, said, "One of these days, Eric is going to make all of you happy, some by coming to be your pastor, some by doing the things that he does while he's there, and the rest of you when he leaves." And on the one hand, this is true. I made everybody happy. And in fact, when I left, I said, "Today I make your joy complete." And Pastor Michelle will do the same thing. Some of y'all are happy to see her. Some of you will be happy with what she does. And some of you will be happy when she goes. But that's the way it is with every pastor. And I think the thing about this, even though it's a great line and it always gets a great laugh, is that our relationship isn't really rooted and how happy a pastor makes a congregation, or how happy a congregation makes a pastor. What I like to tell people who are starting out, mainly youth ministry, but starting out in ministry, is that we really only have two things to offer, and that's Jesus and relationship. And if you don't give relationship, no one cares what you have to say about Jesus. And the other, I think that's true for several reasons. First of all, we all know when somebody wants something out of us just because they want something and not really because they care about who we are. You know, that's one of the first things I remember my pastoral care professor, Dr. Tony Everett, saying was, love your people, and when in doubt, love your people. And I think at least over 6 years that proved to be true. If we care about each other, not because we hope that they're going to attend all the committee meetings, or because your pastor is going to visit everyone you think they should visit, or because of all the different reasons that sometimes we find to fuss a little bit, but we love each other with the love that God has for us, the love that knows no bounds, the love that knows no conditions, the love that knows no hiddenness or secretness, a love that's genuine affection that we have because we understand that love that God has for us, then our relationship in some ways can't help but prosper, because we have a tendency to love people who love us genuinely. You know, it's the same reason that our parents, no matter how much they might mess up, not that my parents ever messed up, but some parents over in Irmo occasionally did. But, you know, no matter how much mom or dad did things that I didn't like, I still loved them because they loved me. They loved me before they saw me. They loved me because they loved the idea of me. They loved me because not of who I am or who I was or even who I'll become, but because of whose I am, because I belong to them. In a lot of ways, that's the way the relationship of a congregation is. We love each other, first of all, because of whose we are. We belong to God. And because we're God's, we love each other. But the relationship of a pastor and a congregation is one where we belong to each other. We love each other because that's what we're called to do. And because of the things we're called to do together. And because of the way we're called to be in community together. And because of the love that God demonstrates for us that we try to live out together, we share in this relationship of love. And when you love each other like that, even when we fuss, and even when we fight, and even sometimes when we argue about things like the color of the carpet or, you know, what the air should be set at, or what Sunday do you light that candle anyway, you know, we remember the relationship that we share. Now, we also have those times when we call each other to account, like in this joyous first lesson we have today that begins, "Woe to you, O shepherds of the flock, because you are the reason my people have fallen away." This is the warning message to pastors, and it proves that every congregation who's ever been upset with a pastor is probably right. You know, so this is your ammo if you need ammo. But it also reminds us that in the midst of suffering, even though we do have those hard times, that we are called to something greater. God lifts us up out of our conflict. God lifts us up out of our doubt. God lifts us up out of our grief and teaches us that what it means to be God's people is to recognize that even though there might be turmoil right now, that God is providing a time of comfort and restoration and homecoming. So when you have arguments, remember that God is preparing a time and a place where you won't be fussing quite as much. The third thing that I hear in our lessons today is the words of love that Jesus speaks with Peter. Now it doesn't show as clearly in the English, because love kind of means everything to do with love in the English language. But what's really, and I'm about to say the word Greek, don't zone out. But what's really interesting in the Greek is the first time Jesus asks Peter this question, he says, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with that undying, never-ending, unselfish love with which God loves you?" And Peter says, "Yeah, Jesus, I philos you. You know, you're my buddy. You're my brother. You're my pal." And so Jesus says, "You know, then tend my flock." And Jesus tries again. "Peter, do you agape me?" And he says, "Jesus, I just told you, I philos you. High five." You know? And finally, in what I think is a little bit of resignation, Jesus says, "You know, Peter, do you philos me?" And Peter says, "I told you these things. How can you still want to know this, right?" And he gets offended because Jesus is still asking him, "Do you love me?" But we're gonna have that experience too, as pastors and congregations, as family members, as sometimes a synod in congregations, as the church in congregations, where we will be trying in our most genuine way to say the things that are most important to us in our heart and in our soul, the things that mean the most to us that we so want this other person to hear. And we're just going to miss each other. And we're going to love each other anyway. And that's part of love too. We do seek to be known by those people we love and seek to be understood by those people we love. But remember what Paul said, that love is something that bears and believes and hopes all things. And I know my wife hopes every day that, you know, what she bears is that I won't be so dense as I am today when tomorrow comes. And most of the time, unfortunately, I disappoint her in that, but she does bear and believe it, and so she puts up with me a little bit. I think the other thing that's important, both for us as a congregation and a pastor to remember when we welcome someone new into our midst, is that we never walk into any place in a vacuum. You know, we always, when we walk into a congregation, either for the first time as members or as a pastor, or when we walk into the doors every Sunday morning, the same doors we've walked into since we were children, until the time when we leave out these doors when someone rolls us out, you know, we always are walking into the middle of something. We're walking into the middle of love. We're walking into the middle of friendship. We're walking into the middle of conflict. We're walking into the middle of frustration. And, you know, up and up until about 2 weeks ago, when for whatever reason I was able to hear the 23rd Psalm with some new ears, you know, I had always heard, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, it isn't my enemies that I meet at church all the time, but, you know, it kind of fits in, right? But you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And, you know, the Psalms just kind of have this way of saying, "All right, God, you go get those people that have oppressed me. And isn't it convenient that you hate the same people I hate?" And it's always been weird to me to read that in the Psalms that, you know, on the one hand, God is this great and majestic and all-loving and all-caring being, but God is also just waiting to punish my enemies. And I was contemplating this idea of setting a table before me in the presence of my enemies when all of a sudden it kind of hit me. This table that God is preparing for me in the presence of my enemies is the table of love that God is preparing for me with them, in which we will all dwell, those of us who are children of God. And all of a sudden, something shifted. God isn't preparing a table and a feast for me. God is preparing a table and a feast for us, and we're invited along. And when we realize that, this idea that even in the midst of the heatedness that we can experience in relationship with people at church and in our families and in our nation and in our world and our government and all those other places where occasionally we see conflict. You know, all these people, whether it's us or them, whoever them might be, are people who God loves, are people who God is inviting to the table, are people for whom God is preparing a place, a seat, a meal, a home, a restoration, a promise through the death and resurrection of Jesus that binds us all together. So remember, in those moments that are difficult, in those moments that are joyous, in those moments that are hopeful, in those moments when we're doubtful, in those moments where we're just having trouble, not just being a congregation together, but maybe hoping or believing anything, that what we really are is God's family who reminds both us, ourselves, and the world of the one truth in which we gather, that the God who creates all things and who through the waters of baptism continues to recreate and restore us is calling us to the place that is being prepared so that we can join in the joy of God's presence and God's love and God's hope and God's renewal that we hear and share, both through the things that we're able to do for other people, which, let's face it, as Lutherans who like to do things for other people, that's our favorite, but also through the way that God's people share and show and give those things to us. So it's true. At some point, Pastor Michelle is going to make everybody happy, and I hope she does make your joy complete before she leaves. But remember that this relationship isn't grounded in whether y'all are happy with each other or whether you like each other that moment or whether you like yourselves at whatever moment it is. This relationship is rooted in the one thing that we really don't have any say in because it's God's promise, that you have been marked by the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And thanks be to God that it's up to God and not up to us. Amen.